so forth. I want to talk today about coming to church. Now, one Saturday, a pastor decides he didn't want to go to church. And he decided to go golfing instead. You know, that's not right. Just follow me here. So he calls his deacon to tell him he's sick. The deacon agrees to preach on his behalf. So the pastor grabs his golf clubs. He drives for a while, finding a course where he wouldn't be recognized, and he starts playing golf. He tees up on the first hole, squares off, and hits the ball. To his great surprise, it flies perfectly off the tee, heads downrange and onto the green. To his further surprise, when he gets to the green, he finds that the ball had landed right in the hole. The pastor is jubilant. Never in 20 years of golfing has he been able to hit a hole-in-one. He grabs his ball and moves on to the next hole. There he tees it up, takes a few practice swings, and hits the ball again. It flies perfectly down the course, and in this time, before he even heads down the course, he is sure the ball is in the hole. Hole after hole, this continues. The pastor is jubilant. It's the best golf game he's ever had. He's excited. Up in heaven, Jesus is sitting beside God watching the pastor. He looks over and says, "Are you really going to let him get away with this?" God smiles and said, "Well, who's he going to tell?" And it has something really to do with what I'm going to talk about, because I want to talk about, again, about coming to church. Now, I realize I'm speaking to the choir, because you're all sitting here today. But I still want to give this talk about coming to church. Turn with me to John 15. John 15, verse 1. This is something we normally, every year, we read during the Passover as we have finished washing the feet and partaking of the wine. John 15, verse 1. John writes what Jesus says. Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And we can go and read real quick. You don't have to turn there, because Bob read this, Hebrews 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who was promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, I believe these scriptures go hand in hand. And as I mentioned, I want to speak to the choir as you're sitting here listening. But I want to speak about coming to church and staying close to that vine. As I said, you're here today. You understand the importance of coming to church. But there are others that may be listening at home. Not as I'm saying this, I know my three sons and their wives and their children aren't here today, but they're all really sick. No, they are sick. They are sick. They are sick. But I believe it's an important topic. I will start out by saying that there are numerous New Testament scriptures that testify the importance of going to church. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 is usually quoted as the main scripture when discussing this matter. But there are others, and there are many reasons to make it a habit to attend services. If you turn with me to Luke 4, 16. Luke 4, 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. That's about pretty much all I need to say about that subject. Jesus Christ went to the synagogue. He went to church on the Sabbath. People say, what did Jesus Christ do on the Sabbath? He went to church. He went to services. Let's go back to John 15. Jesus says he is the true vine. We are branches of that vine. Down to verse 9 in John 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now I just read that, and nowhere in there at all does it say to go to church. It doesn't say go to church, but it does say that we are to love one another, to cling to that vine which is Jesus Christ. We are to grow fruit, we are to produce fruit, and as we heard from Bob's message, we are to encourage one another. And how do we do that? We do that by being together. We do that by coming to church. Galatians 5, because Jesus said we are to produce fruit. We're to grow in fruit. We know the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh of his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As a branch to the vine, we cannot bear fruit without Jesus Christ. And unless we abide with Jesus Christ, we will not bear fruit. After Jesus Christ was resurrected, he ascended to heaven. He started a work, a way, a path, a church. Through the apostles, churches were started. Many of the books of the New Testament were written to churches. They are written to congregations. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, started a church where people came together and worshiped. There were different congregations where God's people got together on the Sabbath and worshiped, taught, learned, and fellowshipped with one another. Jesus Christ set up a church, a group of believers to do a work and to be a church. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul is writing to a body of believers, a church, a congregation. He is telling them the importance of the church to build one another up, to encourage, to be strong together so that we are not carried away with false doctrine. We are building a body that is strong and becoming more like Jesus Christ. As a church, as a congregation, we're to have unity of one faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're to help one another become perfect, to become like Jesus Christ. The whole body is to be joined together, working together to help one another grow. Jesus Christ is the vine, as we read in John 15, and we are the branches. When we do not come to church, our branches can dry up. We can wither. We can fall away from the vine. Instead of growing fruit, we can wither and die. Now, I know we get tired. We have a hard week. We're physically and mentally exhausted. We start coming up with excuses on why we need to stay home. We're too tired. Traffic is bad. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too far. I have nothing to wear. I have to take a shower. It's too hard to get myself ready. I need time to myself. We can come up with so many excuses. I looked up. There are some actual excuses I found why people could not come to church. Number one, these were actual excuses. We were out of peanut butter. And that's a problem. It can be a problem. No one can worship without peanut butter. Number two, I was too drunk, so I went soul searching with my dog Rambo. Number three, both of my girlfriends attend church there. That would be a problem. The worship leader pulls up his pants too often. It's distracting. I saw Errol doing that, didn't you guys? No, he didn't do that. My kids take naps during that time. Gas prices are too high. I think we'll see that one. The pastor is too attractive. When I see him preaching, I have impure thoughts and I'm distracted. That's why Phil's not here today, actually. Actually, I know Phil. Has never happened to him. My wife cooked bacon for breakfast and our entire family smelled like bacon. If it's beef bacon, that's not a bad thing, really. The pastor stays in the Bible too much. Number 10, I couldn't get the lid off the peanut butter. This guy has a problem with his peanut butter. We got burned out of church and have been taking a break the past 7 years. I always get hemorrhoids on church days. I was constipated. Again, all valid reasons not to come to church. We all have our reasons. I have personally seen many examples of people losing their desire to attend church on a regular basis. They slow down. It goes from every other week to once a month to not coming at all. Jesus Christ said he is the true vine and we are the branches. When we leave the vine, we as branches dry up. We can fall away. We fall off when we fall away. You know, we have a wonderful service here in Atlanta and Brazelton, and there are many others throughout the church. You know, we have these webcasts that people that cannot come to services have a way of hearing and are watching the message, which is good when there's a sickness or things of that nature. I remember telling Philip when we were going to do this during the pandemic that we would have to be careful because people would get used to not coming to services. They would get used to sitting home in their pajamas and attending services. I remember that. During the pandemic, we had 7-8 service weeks in a row where we stayed home, and it was very comfortable sitting there in your shorts and a t-shirt listening to the message. Now, I believe the webcasts are good for those in need and that cannot attend or make services for health reasons. I just do not think there should be a reason we do not come to services. It is not helping you, and it's not helping the church. I found a quote from all places, Facebook, so you know it's true. As a church, the quote, as church attendance numbers fade across the nation, and online services become very convenient, it's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve from your sofa. You can't have community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a group of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Christians are not consumers, we're contributors. We don't watch, we engage. We give, we sacrifice, we encourage, we pray together, we do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. It's a two-way street. The church needs you, and you need the church. You know, God has called each of us to be here. None of us are here by accident. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. God called you, and he called me for a reason. He called us to be a part of his church, a part of his plan, a part of his future, a part of what he is doing. You know, he could have called you and placed you on an island out in the Pacific somewhere, which wouldn't be horrible right now, but it'd be lonely. He didn't call you that for that. He called you and he put you here, whether it be in Atlanta, Braselton, anywhere, one of the surrounding areas around this area. He called you and put you here to be a part of this congregation or a part of this church, to be part of this way. He called you to be a part of a congregation. Philippians 2, 1. Philippians 2, 1. Philippians 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. God has called us to work together, to be together, to help. And again, as Bob was saying in his message, to encourage, to be an encourager to one another. We are to become like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We do this by getting to know one another, by spending time together, by coming to church services. Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. In verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are to bear with one another, forgiving one another. We're to be teaching one another, admonishing one another. We're to be singing together, worshiping together, giving thanks together. Coming to church services should not be a chore. It should be a blessing. It's a time to fellowship, to teach, to learn, to grow. I know I can look out right now and I can see Helen sitting right there. Helen would do almost anything to come to church. She hates missing church. This is her home. This is her family. She could tell you stories about coming to services when she was younger. Her husband did not attend, but she would have to make her own way. She had to cross rivers, take a bus, catch a ride with others, ride the stagecoach, get on the Pony Express. But she would come to church. She wanted to be with God's people. She would do whatever she could to come to church. She wanted desperately to be around God's people every week. Now, she's not here today because she needs a ride, but Barbara Connors is another one. She comes to church. She hates missing church. She's in her 80s. She hates missing church, but she will come when she has the opportunity to come to church, to talk with, to hug, to love, because this is her life. She hates to miss church. She hates missing out. Now, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty if you have health problems. I'm trying to make you feel guilty if you don't. You know, we all know Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we're not supposed to conform to this world. As Bob mentioned, as this world continues to slide into darkness, we need one another more than ever. We need to be around people of the same mind. You know, I told the story a couple weeks ago, but back in the 90s, the church, as we know, anybody who's been around a while, the church was going through a rapid decline. And at the same time, many of the, and I will use quotes this time, many of the leaders were leading God's church back into the world. I remember Charlotte and I were thinking of that our world, everything we knew was going insane. And we desperately sought out people, friends and family that we knew, trying to find out, where are you? What are you doing? Do you believe this new stuff? Or do you believe the things we've always been taught and learned? And we desperately sought those people that were on the same mindset as we were. We needed that there to keep us going. We looked for those that had the same mind, the same beliefs, and we're not giving up all they knew. You know, as this world continues to turn, to change, to get uglier, where wrong is right, where right is wrong, where sin is glorified, where filth is glorified, we need one another. You know, in 2020 was a rough year. 2021 was a rough year. 2022 was a rough year. 2023 will probably be a rough year as this world continues to change. But we need this every week to come together and be a part of something that's bigger, better, stronger. We need God's church. We need God's people to encourage, to strengthen, to lift up, to help one another. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I've seen too many that have given this way of life up. For whatever reason, they quit coming to church. For whatever reason, they said, you know what? It's not that important to me anymore. And they changed. They stopped doing the things. And just like a branch on a tree, they've withered. They have dried up. And we can't let that happen. You know, when we stay home, especially if we're alone, it can be detrimental to our spiritual growth. Coming to church helps us grow as a congregation, and it helps us grow individually. You know, we know Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. We come to church to sharpen one another, to help one another. You know, as Bob mentioned, we come to encourage, to be that encourager for one another. You know, as times, again, as we get tougher, we need to rely on one another to help one another. We need one another to help sort out those who try to deceive. You know, just like in the 90s, when we were looking for those not caught up in the deception, we spent a lot of time talking with friends, searching for those who are deceived. Who were not deceived, I'm sorry. You know, this last weekend, again, it was so nice to see people and seeing friends that we knew back in Pasadena, friends that we've known for many, many years. One of my good friends, his name's Don, we were talking, and somebody said, how long have you guys known each other? I said, oh, maybe 20, 25 years. He said, Jerry, we've known each other since the 80s. Now, it's been a long time. We've gone through battles together. And it's good to see those people that are still working, still growing, still being a part of the church. And we have events like that last weekend where we can get together and we can have iron sharpens iron. We can say, how are you doing? What's going on with your family? Turn with me to Jude 17. Jude verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're told to be aware of those who cause division and those who start to walk a different way. When we come to church, we talk, we listen, we fellowship, we encourage, we help one another. Go with me to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now, this happened 2,000 years ago. But I can tell you it has happened in my lifetime in the churches. There have been people that have destructive tongues. People that have spread false rumors. People that were not doing what was right. And they're going to be coming again. As a church, we have to be strong, healthy. You know, if we're not around God's people on a regular basis, we run the risk of being swept up in false doctrine and false teaching. And again, I've seen this. I'm not just making this up or just saying words. I have seen this happen too many times. We can get caught up in the ways of the world. You know, as we fellowship with one another, we can discuss what we hear. We can hear others' insights and experiences. We can help one another not get caught up in destructive heresies. We can encourage and lift one another up. God is working with the church. He is working with us to be a part of his family. He has called us to be together. You remember in Revelation, it talks about a wedding feast that we will be having with Jesus Christ, a place where we will all be together. We read about the first resurrection in 1 Corinthians and in Thessalonians, all resurrected together, rising to meet Christ, Jesus Christ, together. God did not call you to be alone. God called us to be together. He called us to be a part of a family, a part of a church, a part of a way of life. We have an opportunity every week and then during the holy days to get together, to talk, to fellowship, to learn from one another, and to help one another, and to encourage one another. And I think those times are coming when we're going to really have to be there to help and encourage one another as times get tough. If you go to Titus 2, Titus 2, under the heading, Qualities of a Sound Church. Titus 2, verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. As a church, we have a responsibility to one another. The elders have a responsibility. Each person has a responsibility to set an example and teach. The older women and men should be setting an example and helping and guiding the younger members. You know, we're all in this together, striving together, learning and growing together. You know, there are people that are struggling. There are families that are going through severe health crisis. There are some going through trials with jobs, with finances, with family. After the winter weekend, there's a lot of people going through health issues with feet problems and knee problems and things like that. Coming to church, though, coming to church for some is the highlight of their week. It is a few hours to escape, to be among friends, to be among family. For some, they're the only ones in their family that believe this way. Coming to church is a respite. It's a time to relax, to be around like-minded people, to be around friends and family. They can share their future. They can share their hopes, their dreams. They're around people that believe together, people that worship together. The benefits of coming to church, the benefits of being in a solid congregation. And we do have a blessing, brethren. There are people throughout the many different churches. Atlanta is a very, and Buford is a very blessed church. We have older people. I'm one of them. We have older people. We have young families, young adults, teenagers, and a lot of little babies. It is a blessing to have that kind of congregation today. So we need to be taking advantage of that. You know, sometimes people come to church and they don't always get a lot out of the message, especially when I'm speaking. But they come here and maybe they just come today to get a hug, to get a handshake, to get someone to say, hey, how you doing? Or they come just to be listened to be hugged by those who care. Sometimes they may come just to see you. I want to come to church today because I really want to see that person. They make me smile. They make me feel a part of a group. They make me feel connected. And if you're not here, they're going to miss that. Sometimes we come just to help others and encourage others. Again, I know you're sitting here. I'm preaching to the choir. But we can all get in that mood every once in a while. We can get discouraged. We can get tired. We can get frustrated. And we can get where we want to stay home. But remember, when we come to Sabbath services every week, it's not always about you. It's about others. It's about serving others. We come to services to be a part of the church, a part of a better, bigger way of life, to be a part of God's family, to be a part of God's congregation, to be a part of his future. There are many who are counting on you to attend each week.